time for another edition of the JMRA Podcast as we get you set for week number 4 in the National Football League. And a lot of stuff to go over in terms of news and notes. We'll run down the week 4 slate for you as well. There are a few monkey wrenches in this week's schedule, which we'll discuss. Without further ado, let's get to it. Andrew Luck is not feeling too hot these days. Luck is suffering from a sore throwing shoulder, and he sat out a lot of practice on Wednesday. Really one of the first times since his rookie season where he saw reduced practice time. And you gotta wonder if all of the machinations and tinkering with the offensive line is starting to catch up with the Colts. The Colts, for whatever reason, and I get it, they're trying to, you know, give Andrew Luck weapons to succeed. I get it. They have essentially ignored the offensive and defensive line. Yeah. They brought in Trent Cole on defense. That's fine, whatever. But on the offensive side of the football, where your primary goal is to protect this commodity that you have, this franchise quarterback, he certainly gets hit just about as much as any high-profile quarterback in the league does. It's stupid how little protection this man gets. And the Colts, I mean, look, they're very fortunate to be 1-2. They could have very easily lost that game on Sunday, and now they're in, quote, first place because the rest of the AFC South stinks, as everyone thought it would. And it's one of those things where, really, you look at the Colts, I don't know how much life this team has to really make a big run out of it, but, you know, they're going to take advantage of an awful division. They play Jacksonville this week. But the main thing is this. If Andrew Luck is out for any period of time, and they think he's going to play on Sunday, but if this becomes a lingering issue, the amount of talent that is behind Andrew Luck, and remember, his backup's Matt Hasselbeck, the amount of talent that is propping up this Colts team, not counting Andrew Luck, is, I'm not going to say it's deplorable, but it's not good. Very, very risky situation out in Indianapolis. Elsewhere, speaking of throwing arms, Drew Brees is back throwing with the Saints. He thinks he can play on Sunday night against the Cowboys, which would save us from one of the worst quarterback matchups in the history of primetime television. Brandon Weeden versus Luke McCown. I've tried to think about this over the last week. I'm sure there's one that's as bad. I mean, I think about 1992 when Stan Gelbaugh beat the Denver Broncos. I think it was Stan Gelbaugh against Tommy Maddox and Sean Moore. That one was pretty awful. But I can't think of one besides that that is as awful as this could be. Now, having said that, both McCown and Weeden played well last week. So, I'm holding out hope. If Drew Brees does not play, that we'll get somewhat of a decent game. Anyhow, Brees threw, and by all accounts, he looked better than he did last week. But my question is this. If you're the Saints, you're 0-3, and I get it. This is your last-ditch effort, really, to save the season. Because at 0-4, I mean, the odds are you're probably going to have to win 10 to 11 games to get in the postseason. Now, we've seen it happen before. The 1992 San Diego Chargers went 0-4, ended up making the playoffs at 11-5. Can it happen? Yeah. But the odds are supremely long that it will happen. I don't know. I don't know that I would bring back Drew Brees to do this right away. Maybe I hold him out one more week and just roll the dice and see what happens on Sunday night. But I get why they're bringing it back. The bigger issue at hand for the Saints is the future with this guy. Drew Brees' salary cap hit over the next 2 years total, this season, next season, is $53.8 million. I don't know about your math, but in my world, that's a lot of money. That is just a gross overpay on the behalf of the Saints. And I got to think one of two things is going to happen. Either they are going to restructure his contract, or they're going to have to release him or trade him. That's crazy. That is just crazy. I don't see how they can take that cap hit. But anyhow, looks like Breeze will be back this week for the Saints, assuming the rest of the week goes well. In other injury news, Arian Foster is going to be a game-time decision for the Houston Texans when they take on the Atlanta Falcons this week. Foster is trying to come back from groin surgery, and his prognosis was a little bit further out than what it appears to be right now. It looks like he may have a chance to play on Sunday. Again, you know, it's team now. The Texans are not 0-3, they're 1-2. But I think if you're Houston, you have to be smart about this. While we said earlier the AFC South stinks, that works both ways. The teams that are in, you know, 1-2 land with the Indianapolis Colts, and it's everybody, you got a shot. You really do. So I think the Texans have to make sure that Foster is back up and running properly. So I think if he comes back, I don't think you're going to see a ton of Arian Foster this week. Perhaps the most pressing news of the week, as it turns out, could be what's going on with Hurricane Joaquin. I'll tell you what, I've been out of it. I have not even paid attention even a little bit to this weather stuff. As the week has gone on up here in New Jersey, you hear whispers like, yeah, it's raining, blah, blah, blah. Then I hear, oh yeah, there's some storm going up to New England and already hit New England. And now there are reports that Hurricane Joaquin on Wednesday night was upgraded to a Category 3 storm, which means this storm is going to hit the East Coast hard. And as a result, CBS Sports' Jason LaConfora reported that the Eagles-Redskins game on Sunday may be moved all the way to Week 8, which would take place on November 1st. And the Eagles and Redskins would receive byes this week. Reason being, due to Hurricane Joaquin causing an uproar in the D.C. area where the Eagles and Redskins will play on Sunday. So, again, if that game is moved, it will be not to a Monday night, but to Week 8. And that's an interesting call because we've seen in a lot of cases the NFL move games maybe a day or two later. Remember in 2010, the East Coast was hit by a massive snowstorm. The Eagles were supposed to play the Vikings on Sunday Night Football, and I believe it was that Saturday, or excuse me, maybe it was either that Saturday or Sunday, they had decided early on that it was going to be moved to Tuesday. So instead of going later on in the week, they opt here to move it all together, which, you know, it's this early in the season. I can get that. So you have to protect the safety of the fans, obviously, and you don't want to put them out there in anything that's crazy that they can't get out of. So it'll be an interesting call to see if they make that decision. No word as of Thursday morning as we are recording this podcast. Okay, let's get into the week four slate of games. The fun and frivolity of week four all starts with the Baltimore Ravens at the Pittsburgh Steelers, a game that in the beginning of the year, I'm sure CBS looked at and was like, yeah, that's a pretty good game. Now it's the remnants of the Baltimore Ravens at 0-3 against Michael Vick and the Pittsburgh Steelers. Holy ghost. So Ben Roethlisberger out 4 to 6 weeks with an injury to his knee, and as a result, Michael Vick is in, and we'll see what happens. The good news for Vick is he's got a lot of weapons at his disposal. Le'Veon Bell is back, Antonio Brown. The receiving core overall is pretty good. So you would think they'd be able to move the football. But again, this is Michael Vick. So things just seem to go wrong when Michael Vick is at quarterback over the last 4 years or so. The Steelers, it's a shame. You know, I really like the Steelers this year. They're my Super Bowl pick to represent the AFC. And now that obviously is, I'd say, probably not going to happen, depending on Roethlisberger's ability to come back and come back successfully from that knee injury. So, intriguing game tonight in Pittsburgh as the Ravens visit the Steelers, and it's a must-win for the Ravens. At 0-4, you can forget it. And it is funny. The two I guess you would call fire starters of Deflategate, the Ravens and Colts, a combined 1-5. Football karma is not nice. It just isn't. On to Sunday action. And this is where the schedule gets a little bizarre. We talked about the Eagles-Redskins thing earlier, just a few moments ago. The Jets and Dolphins will play on Sunday morning at 9:30. That's right, Sunday morning at 9:30, Jets-Dolphins. This is the London game, a part of the international series for the NFL. So, hey, I might actually go out to breakfast. I'll be coming from Virginia at about 5 in the morning on early Sunday morning slash late Saturday night. Perhaps, maybe I'll roll out of bed on Sunday morning and check out some breakfast and, you know, take that one in. It is crazy. You're going to have to go to a... Who serves beer at 9:30 in the morning? That's, I don't know. Anyways, that's probably a great game to go out and, you know, grab some breakfast and maybe find an establishment with an adult beverage. By the way, in that Jets-Dolphins game, look, the Joe Philbin era is obviously coming to a close, assuming the Dolphins here continue their slow start. Their schedule is super easy in the first 7-8 weeks, and they're 1-2. So Joe Philbin cannot get his team to respond to him. And I don't think, like, look, the quarterback and the head coach is a symbolic entity of your team. And you look at Ryan Tannehill and Joe Philbin, ugh, that just screams bland and boring. No offense, guys, but those are not command guys. And I think you need to fix the problem. Obviously, they just signed Tannehill to a new deal, so you can't really fix that problem right now. But the head coach thing, you can fix that. And I think the Dolphins might want to take a look at that. Elsewhere, Houston at Atlanta. Atlanta 3-0 so far this season. That's a very winnable game again for them. Look for them to go to 4-0. The Giants at the Bills. Eli Manning against Rex Ryan. That's a tough spot for the Giants. Tough spot for the Giants. The Bills, you know, with the exception of the Patriots game, that defense has done a nice job. And, you know, the Giants, for all of their Odell Beckham Jr. And this, that, and the other, I think they're going to have a tough time against the Bills on Sunday. Oakland at Chicago, first time in 27 games that the Raiders are favored, and they're favored on the road, no less. Oh, my God. And rightfully so. The Raiders possibly at 3-1. Kansas City at Cincinnati. Ever since that Jamal Charles fumble, the Chiefs, now they fought back a little bit on Monday night against the Packers, but they just have not been what I would call a reliable team. It's been about four quarters and change since they lost that Denver game in really a heartbreaking fashion, but those are the type of losses that linger with you, and they don't have an easy schedule to boot. So very, very tough slate for the Chiefs, Green Bay, and then short week, Cincinnati, two of the team's undefeated teams in the National Football League. Jacksonville at Indy, a part of this easy AFC South slate for the Colts. If luck can play, the Jags should be in trouble in that one in Indianapolis. Carolina at Tampa Bay. Cam Newton, I'm sure Cam will be looking at who is calling the game on Sunday from the officiating perspective. I would assume it is not Ed Hockley. Carolina, Tampa Bay, and you look at the Panthers, 3-0 so far, another winnable game for them. I can't believe they're 4-0, and not only that, they're doing it without Kelvin Benjamin, who, you know, he will miss the entire season due to a knee injury, and the beat goes on for Cam Newton. You've got to give Cam credit, man. Last year, going into the season, a lot of people were saying, well, you know, I don't see how this guy's going to move the football with just one wide receiver that we don't even really know if he's any good, in Kelvin Benjamin, and a bunch of cast-offs. Wasn't a great record, wasn't a pretty record, but he got the Panthers into the playoffs, winning the NFC South. And now he's back at it again. Really have to be impressed with what Newton has done first three games. Eagles, Redskins, the Eagles do this to you, man. I've watched too many Eagles games, too many Eagles seasons to see this. They're going to start out bad, and this is classic Andy Reid. We've seen this before with Reid teams. They're going to start out awful, and then here comes the run. And I think the Eagles are going to win this game on Sunday, provided that they play. Now, if this game gets moved, Eagles get a bye week, different ballgame a little bit. Cleveland at San Diego. I don't know why the Browns continue to mess with Josh McCown. Make Johnny Manziel the quarterback, please. Must-win game for the Chargers if they want to get into the playoffs. The AFC, I think, will be a little difficult to navigate this year in terms of the wild card because everyone seems to be right around the same skill level and right around the same record. At least in the early going, you can see a bunch of 1-2 teams. You have Buffalo up there 2-1. So the Chargers got to get going here if they want to get in the playoffs. St. Louis at Arizona, that will not be good for Nick Foles and friends. 4-0 for Arizona. Minnesota at Denver, this is an intriguing game. I don't think there's any way Minnesota wins this game, but I do have interest in watching Peyton Manning against Minnesota's defense. Minnesota's defense so far has been pretty decent. Now, I would suspect, based off of Carlos Hyde's performance in week one, you're going to see a lot of running the football from Denver this week. So that will be one thing to monitor in that contest. Green Bay. Who did Green Bay pay to get this schedule? Green Bay at San Francisco on Sunday. Oh, my God. The Packers will be going to 4-0. Dallas at New Orleans. We already talked about it. Could be the worst primetime matchup of quarterbacks ever, as we see Luke McCown versus Brandon Whedon. Ugh. Having said that, Cowboys got to respond with a big win here. Cowboys don't win this game. You know, you're starting to sweat if you're a Cowboys fan looking at when Tony Romo and or Dez Bryant comes back. And they need, of the two, no offense to Dez, Cowboys got to have Romo back. They have Romo back, they can kind of piecemeal everything else together. And then the Monday night game, another dreadful primetime game, Detroit at Seattle. Does anybody really think Matthew Stafford is capable of winning this game? Raise your hand. Okay, no one did. That's exactly my point. I think that's a tough chore for the Lions. And, yeah, here come the Seahawks. I don't know if the Seahawks are completely whole. Marshawn Lynch is now battling an injury, but, you know, the Seahawks are going to get some traction at some point this year. So it's just a matter of how much traction they get. That will do it for the JMRA podcast. A reminder, you can check us out on Twitter at Joe M's Right Arm and also on the blog at JoeMontanasRightArm.com. Again, JoeMontanasRightArm.com. Until Monday, when we go through the recap of games on Sunday. Again, remember, 10-minute recap of the Sunday games on Monday for your podcast enjoyment. Until then, I'm Joe Montana's Right Arm. Happy football, everybody.